want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, don't you? Yes, I really, really would, but you're doing in my head. It's an option, it's no good. I'm standing in a windy tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for no good blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three of the Common Sense Show. Our thanks again to Joseph Meyer and, of course, Robert Griswold. And I still got a little adrenaline rush going on from Bob's active scenarios, which I think is very valuable. And if you haven't done so, there are lots of community classes available that can teach you situational awareness and personal self-defense. You know, simply like using your car keys as a weapon when you're grabbed. I mean, there's a whole host of things. I'm not going to run through those, but, you know, a lot of your local YMCAs and even some of the churches. I know that my former church used to do a lot on defense training because we had an expert that was a member of our congregation. So I would encourage everyone to take a look at that, because you really are on your own when this starts. You know, someone comes in with bad intentions into an environment you're in, don't expect help from the authorities. They'll get there in time to draw a white line around your cold, dead body. Well, that's pretty grim, isn't it? Well, anyway, thanks to Bob and, of course, to Joe. And don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by my partner in crime, Jim White, and we're going to be talking more about the events in Paris, and we're also going to be extrapolating meaning for us here in the United States and what this means to us. And just very quickly here before we join Katie, next week we've got a great show lined up for you, and I mean a great, capital G-R-E-A-T. We have James Wesley Rawls, former Army intelligence officer. We're going to talk a lot about critical incidences around the planet, threats to our survival and our safety. He's got some practical common sense solutions to how you can prepare. And then we'll have Mike Adams from Natural News and also TalkNetwork.com, where Jim White and I have a brand new show. In fact, they pick up this show on Wednesday nights from 9 to midnight Central. So if you ever miss us here, you can always catch us there. So, Katie, we are now officially in our health report segment. I want to bring Katie Whalen in. And, Katie, let's talk about where we're going in this segment.
Hi, Dave. How are you? Are you calm?
I'm trying. You know, it's time to break out. Well, no, I won't do that. I was going to say. No, not time to break out the anti-anxiety medication.
Nice meds for that. Some nice lavender oil or something. But yeah, we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be okay. So I'm not too flipped out about it. Like I said during the break, I've taken training, you know, concealed carry training and situational awareness training, and I think it's a great idea to wake everybody up to it. So, and speaking of situational awareness, my segues are getting better and better, Dave. I don't know if you've noticed that.
You're doing great, Katie.
This week, I found something pretty interesting. I found very interesting, and it was, believe it or not, from Time Magazine. A friend of mine gave me last week's Time Magazine, and I'm going to read from the article. You can read the whole article from Time Magazine or my blog, which is theessentialoilwell.blogspot.com. But I think it's a good sign. It's not exactly the answer that we're looking for in alternative health, but it's a very good sign. And it says, why doctors are rethinking breast cancer treatment. It says, too much chemo, too much radiation, and way too many mastectomies.
Sure.
this is amazing news. And this was on the cover of Time magazine. So this information is breaking out. And if you don't think this applies to you, listen up, because this idea applies to all medicine, all kinds of disease, all kinds of cancer. But how many people out there know someone who has breast cancer, suffered from breast cancer, or lost a loved one to it? So it affects everybody. So in this story, it starts out with, what if I decided to just do nothing with a diagnosis? So it was a kind of a taunt that this Desiree Basia admits, not the sort of thing that usually comes out of the mouth of a woman who's just been diagnosed with breast cancer. I mean, basically the article goes into, she kind of went into shock, and she kept saying to her surgeon, who grew weary at her questions. She was trying to figure out what to do about her DCIS, which is ductal carcinoma in situ, also known as stage zero breast cancer. She was already on her second opinion. Folks, listen to this. Please get a second opinion. The first surgeon had slapped a photograph of her right breast on a viewer, pointed to a spot about 5 centimeters long, 2 centimeters wide, and told her there was a slot open the following week for a mastectomy. This just stunned me, but it doesn't surprise me.
Isn't that premature, Katie? I'm not an expert, but it seems to me like that's very premature.
It's very premature. And as you read this article, this Dr. Wang, who is the subject of the article, she goes on about that, about how they're rethinking the whole approach to breast cancer, and how their first approach was always, they see a spot, they say the word cancer, it flips everybody out, and they lob off their breast, or they do the, you pump them with poisons, and so there, this article is fascinating because it's taking a look at diving in and figuring out, wait a minute, this isn't working. How long are we going to do this? Right. And it's just not working. So this goes on to say that this Basila woman, her first reaction after her diagnosis was animal instinct. I mean, she just absolutely panicked, but she kind of had a little chutzpah about her. So she challenged her doctor, and she said, well, what if I just do nothing? And believe it or not, the doctor, this Dr. Wang, said, well, some people are electing to do that. So I think there is an awakening. And the shame is that it takes decades of people just mindlessly walking through the system and being told this, to finally wake up and say, wait a minute, this was so unnecessary. So after she said that, she sat back down with this doctor, and they talked about practical things she can do. And she basically decided to do nothing, which was kind of amazing for that time. I mean, this was 8 years ago. It was unheard of for her to have that kind of attitude, because the hype is still just cut it off. Let's fill them with chemotherapy poisons and radiation and take them down. So it goes on to say that the conversation took place 8 years ago. It would have been considered heresy back then. This was the U.S. this was before the U.S. Preventative Service Task Force in 2009 said that women should start mammograms at 50. We all know that. Previous guidelines had it at 40. Before research showed that for some women with stage 1 and 2 breast cancer, the absolute survival benefit from preventative double mastectomies is less than 1% after 20 years. Before the paper in August showing that no matter how a woman is treated for DCIS, the mortality risk is 3%. Similar to the average for the general population. I guess it's bringing the stats out that's making this, well, gosh, why are we mutilating ourselves for these kinds of stats?
Right.
So, it says now those at the vanguard of breast cancer treatment are calling for a major shift in the way doctors treat and talk about the disease, from a first few millimeters of suspicious-looking cells in milk ducts to the invasive mass found outside of them. And that's making a tough conversation between a woman and her cancer doctor even harder, but it also stands to make them more fruitful. I'm just glad to see that people are actually talking about it. It says, this year more than 40,000 women in the U.S. will die of breast cancer. That's the same, give or take, as last year. And the 13 years before that. At the same time, fear of the disease has led many to overestimate the risk it possesses. The chance that a woman will die of breast cancer is 3%. And that's because that's been the case since the early 2000s. And when a blockbuster report demonstrated that hormone replacement therapy, I don't know if you remember that, Dave.
Yes,
that was,
I do.
They were using horse urine, pregnant horse urine, and injecting it into women. My aunt died of terrible, terrible, terrible consequences of that because she bought into the old HRT lie. So women took that for menopause to alleviate side effects, and they unwittingly fueled the development of breast cancer. Once HRT fell out of vogue, the number of deaths dropped, and it's remained largely unchanged since. So it goes on to say the two greatest challenges for doctors is figuring out better treatment for the 40,000 women who die of breast cancer every year. At the same time, figure out who on the other end of the spectrum is getting exposed to needless toxicity. So I'm going to go on here. It says, mammograms are here to stay, says Wang, who has about 20 patients at any given time who have chosen to do active surveillance instead of surgery and the treatment that follow it. It's not the finding more that we need to work on. It's what we are going to do with the more that we find. So I think they're stopping, taking a hard look at this, and dealing with each. It also, the article also goes into each woman's different. They were doing cookie cutter treatment for this disease, and the ramifications after you've had something like a double mastectomy is it's emotional, it's physical. There's terrible follow up and scarring and other treatments. So it's not the answer. And I'm hoping that with cancer in general, cancer has such a stigma. You hear cancer, your heart just busts out of your chest and you kind of fall apart. But really, Dave, the people that we know in the alternative, like Dr. Ted and Dr. Toshiro and some of the people you've worked with, we have a much better grasp of what this is all about. And they've hyped up this scare. And it is a very serious issue, but it's not a cookie cutter process. And the one thing this article didn't go into is alternative methods. What it did do, though, in terms of kudos to the medical community, they are stepping back a little bit, and they're giving women, some women with specific diagnoses, they're giving them something called tamoxifen. Tamoxifen is a drug, but it cuts the hormone. It decreases the hormone estrogen, which these tumors thrive on. And then what they're doing is they're coming in and they're doing follow-up every 6 months or every year with a mammogram or an MRI. And they're keeping an eye on these things. So you could have a tumor in you for 25, 30 years that's not doing anything. You keep an eye on it, you live your life, you eat clean, you take care of yourself, and you could, you know, keep your breasts, keep your quality of life, keep your femininity and all those other wonderful things that go along with doing things naturally. So,
well, my mother went through a double mastectomy, and I have to tell you,
oh, I didn't know that.
She did, and she still lived to be almost 90 years of age. But the psychological impact on her, the effect that it has just globally on a human being, their relationships are devastating. And I suppose if it's the only choice. So, Katie, let me ask you this for people who are listening. Do you think a mastectomy is ever indicated?
From reading this article, it doesn't say in the article, but it gives you a good background of going in and doing, being a little bit more thoughtful about, is this a very quick-growing, dangerous cancer? Or is this a lump? We're not sure. We're going to keep an eye on it. They have ways to test those. And so if there is something that's fast-growing and they can prove it, I still think there's natural ways first. Depends on how fast-growing it is. I'm not a medical expert, but from reading this article, taking a lot more time to take a look at this instead of having, like I said, the cookie-cutter approach. So maybe in some instances that would be necessary, but not to the extent, look at, you've got Angelina Jolie's mother died of breast cancer. So she didn't have any sign of it, but she lobbed both of her breasts off and had them reconstructed. This is fear. This is crazy. I mean, I can't speak for her because I don't know her whole situation, but there are thousands of women who are doing this, and it makes no sense. If you're living a clean life, if you're taking a lot of vitamin D and you're doing all the things that can keep these threats down. So, I would encourage people to pick up the time or just do a search, goodgopher.com, Time Magazine, and the article is called Why Doctors Are Rethinking Breast Cancer. And read through this if this is something you're dealing with. And the last part of it says, for some women like Bacilla, just as some women choose to take a get it out of me approach, there are some, not many, but some, from whom the opposite is appropriate. As with all the hardest decisions we have to make about our health, it comes down to the impossible calculus of what level of uncertainty can I live with. What I am doing is not foolproof. I know that.
Right.
I know life is finite and death is unavoidable. For me, it came down to the quality of life I want to live. I don't want to be tired and bitchy if I can avoid it. And come what may, I think we really hurt ourselves by trying to just not be dead. So, as I was reading through this, I'm encouraged. I would tell women, stop, question your doctors, get a second opinion. And real quick, I wanted to read this. I read this about having breast cancer tissue sampled with a needle seems to increase the odds that disease will also be found in an armpit lymph node called the sentinel node. Now, I've had doctors vehemently disagree with me, but there's research. It says the new research suggests the spread of breast cancer to the sentinel node adversely affects a woman's survival and influence the treatment received. As reported in the Archives of Surgery, Dr. Nora Hansen of the John Wayne Cancer Institute at St. John's Health Center, Santa Monica, California, hypothesized that the method used to obtain specimens from the breast tumor might influence the spread of cancer to the sentinel node. Dave, this to me tells me, if they're just finding this out or if they've known it for a while, how many women had the scare, they had a needle biopsy, and then needlessly it spread because of the procedure itself. And that's why I think they're kind of stepping back a little bit on all this.
You know, I've heard this for a number of years, that the worst thing that some women do is a biopsy, because it can unleash the cancer if the tumor is opened. Is this what you're alluding to as well?
This, the needle biopsy is a little different than a core biopsy. A core biopsy would be where they scoop out the tumor. That could very well, you're going in there, you're not actually penetrating the tumor and spreading, but you are cutting into the tissue. But it's the needle biopsy that has caused such a controversy between different factions of the medical community. And where they do the core biopsy, it says here it actually spreads the disease into the lymph nodes. So something to read about. I'm going to have this. This is from Ray Sahelian.com. I'm going to have these two stories, these two links, on my blog. So get a pen and write theessentialoilwell.blogspot.com. And you can read up on these two great articles if this is something, if this is a situation you're in and you want more education. I personally think going natural first, using the chemicals and the surgeries last. We have been trained the other way around, haven't we?
Yeah, I agree. I think we've been trained to kill a fly with a sledgehammer first and then try to bring in the reinforcements, and I tend to agree. But I also think, as you alluded to earlier, it's important to realize how aggressive the kind of the cancer is, because I think the more aggressive it is, the more aggressive the approach should probably be. But I'm a layman. What do you think?
I agree. And that's where having a second opinion, a third opinion, doing non-invasive testing to get as much information as you possibly can, blood tests, non-invasive type procedures, ultrasounds, mammograms, which I don't encourage a lot, but in a case like this, yes. But make sure you're really sure, and the doctors, two or three different opinions, are very sure. And if they're not sure, then go with your gut and find a holistic doctor who specializes in oncology and women's issues, and work with them before you start letting them cut you up.
Ooh. That sounds so brutal.
Yeah.
Just
well,
the way that you say that.
It is. It's a complete... It's so disfiguring, and it's, as you know from your grandmother, I can't imagine what it would do, especially to a young woman, say somebody in her 30s, how horrible that would be when it was... It may have been unnecessary. So...
Any parting comments here with regard to when women get the diagnosis... What would you tell them about how they should react in their first course here? What do you think?
First course is to step back and pray. I mean, seriously, find a support. Find people around you who are good, who are calm, who are supportive, and pray and turn this over to the Lord. And I know that sounds so simple, but emotional and spiritual healing is so monumental in all of this.
Okay. It's good advice, Katie. And stick around for a minute, will you?
Sure.
You stick around after the break. We come back from the break. Yeah. We're supposed to be joined by Jim White. We're having a little trouble making connection, but I know how to get a hold of this guy. Stay tuned, everybody.
All right.
Well, it is time to talk about transitional currency. And transitional currency can also become permanent currency, or I should say permanent monetary value. And I'm speaking about precious metals. And, of course, again, I'm talking about my friend Steve Quayle. And Steve Quayle would like for you to be prepared for when the dollar crashes, $19 trillion in debt, what is it now? They're saying it's, $2 quadrillion now for the credit swap derivatives debt? And I've been saying 1.5 all these years. I do know the interest rate is $505 trillion a year. That's a year, folks. We take in about $2 trillion a year in taxes, so we have no way of paying this back. It's just a matter of time. So we encourage all kinds of preparedness here on the Common Sense Show, but one of them is situational currency transition, and precious metals can provide that, become a valuable medium of exchange. It's the only medium of exchange that has really held its value through the history of this planet, and I'm speaking specifically about gold. And to get your gold to trade in your soon-to-be, what I think will be worthless currency, for valuable gold, call my friend Steve Quayle tomorrow at 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. And I also want to tell you about a new product that we're going to be pushing here on the Common Sense Show. What if you and your family have to get out of Dodge? What if the Third World War comes? What if we have a natural catastrophe? What if there is a very major terrorist attack, which I think is a distinct possibility in this country, given the numbers of Muslim immigrants, and the FBI tells us 10% of them are radicalized? Okay, well, that's quite an impressive army. What if you have to leave? We would encourage you to go to foodforliberty.com/Hodges and look at the grab-and-go bucket. Grab-and-go, 76 meals, you know, gluten and soy, it's tasty, easy to store. Simply put it in the bag, and you're gone. It goes with you. And it's a good way to stay mobile, and it's a good way to stay prepared. Again, that's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And again, I would encourage you to keep up on the latest of my writings, my editorials, my articles, my fact-finding. And I'm going to be coming out with some, I think, gangbuster observations of things I've discovered since about 2 o'clock this afternoon, where the Paris situation has potentially gone from bad to worse, as if it couldn't get any worse. Well, it has. So please visit thecommonsenseshow.com for your daily briefing, and you can also sign up for our newsletter located at the top of the website. And oh, by the way, we're going to be doing a redesign. Actually, we are doing a redesign, and my crack webmaster is going to be unveiling this to me in a private showing, and I get to make suggestions, and we're soon going to have a new look, and we're certainly going to be a lot more mobile-friendly than we have in the past. So again, please visit us up at thecommonsenseshow.com for the latest in news and events. Well, we are officially now in our news segment, and my good friend James White, who's my partner in crime on the other edition of The Common Sense Show on talknetwork.com, and also we're going to be signing a deal with Red List News. A lot of you have been writing to me and saying, Dave, where's Red List News? Well, we've got over 60 productions, but until we finalize the deal, we thought we were kind of spinning our wheels, so we're in kind of a holding pattern, but it's going to be out there, so yeah. So anyway, my partner in crime in all this, James White, is now the new news director for The Common Sense Show, and we're really glad to have him, and I believe we finally got him. So, Mr. Jim White, how are you, sir?
David, good evening. Thanks so much, of course, for having me again on The Common Sense Show. It's a lot going on right now, and of course, we know that the big news is what happened here in Paris over the last 48 hours or so. You know, I know you penned an article today on your website, thecommonsenseshow.com, and you talked about it being a false flag. Now, we did talk about that, I believe. Oh, I don't know, when we had a conversation, I believe it'll play tomorrow. We did talk about that being a false flag. So, you know, you may be onto something there. It certainly does, you know, it certainly makes you wonder, Dave, like you said, you know, in the article, with this lockdown, as the CIA has everything, they couldn't figure out 6 coordinated attacks. I'm not buying it. So you know, you're onto something there. You're onto something for sure.
The leaders of the world hate the NSA. They resent our government because they know that we can crack any communication system. We have instant access to every communication on the planet with this marvelous technology that's so being misused. There's no way that you could have a coordinated attack in a major city at 6 different venues involving the number of people without having chatter that's traceable, that'd be created by the need to coordinate. It is an impossibility. And especially here, I'm going to pick up my cell phone here and hold it right here. My cell phone is off. That doesn't mean it's really off. It means the NSA is still recording every word that it's hearing through this phone, and as a computer analyst is listening for keywords, and if we say enough of the keywords, it goes to a human analyst, and you can tell me that these terrorists somehow avoided all detect... No way. And then, Jim, do you know about the Mossad, the CIA, and other intelligence groups that had a meeting in Paris recently?
I did catch that. I didn't get the details on it, but yes, please enlighten me.
Well, what I've discovered here, and I'm going to write about this again in the morning, is that there was a high-level intelligence meeting. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Kennedy assassination. And it reminds me of the night before the Kennedy assassination. This was a great story told by Jim Mars on this show, where Clint Murchison held a meeting with J. Edgar Hoover, LBJ, Richard Nixon, George H.W. Bush, And then, of course, as Jim tells the story, LBJ comes out and talks to his mistress and says, well, the Kennedy boys won't be a problem after tomorrow. The date of that meeting was November 21st, 1963. And I look at this intelligence meeting in Paris as a precursor to this terrorist event. I look at that in the same way I look at that Kennedy assassination pre-meeting at Clint Murchison. So, Jim, that's my take on this.
You know, Dave, another issue I think that certainly can't be glossed over is, once again, we find ourselves in a situation where innocent people are put into a gun-free zone. And I think pretty much, maybe not gun-free, but certainly over in Europe, they're way, way more restrictive on firearms than they are here in the United States, for sure. And I don't know if anybody in that surrounding area would even had a firearm. But you know, Dave, what you find is, really, it's convenient for the powers that be for us to really turn into sort of a victim class. And when I say a victim class, I mean all these gun-free zones is where most of the victims in these mass shootings end up finding themselves, you know, at the wrong end of a carbine. And you know, when are we going to learn, frankly, that of course the police can't make it there in time? If somebody walks into a crowded area and starts firing off, you know, a firearm and killing people, you really think the police are going to actually make it there in time to protect you if you're in that environment? Well, of course not. You know, there does come a time when you have to take matters into your own hands. And, you know, we're going to try to get Stuart Rhodes on our Common Sense show, our weekly show, Dave, because he's really trying to start this whole college. I'm not sure if you're familiar, the STOP program. He's trying to teach college. Yeah, he's trying to teach college. That's right. We spoke to him on the phone about it. And it's a great idea. I mean, you know, we really have to not be so helpless, Dave. We can't be victims like they want us to be. They want us to be victims and just hide in a corner with our head over our hands over our head while someone pops rounds into us. And we just can't do that. We just can't do that. We have to stand up. And then, you know, I hope the people in France stand up and cut off the borders and start turning things around a little bit, maybe start arming their citizens.
Well, I think it's high time that we did that, but you're absolutely right about Stuart's approach. And what's interesting to me, I know you didn't hear the earlier parts of the show, but the things that you just mentioned were highlighted by Bob Griswold. I mean, it's good to get this reinforcement that people are herded into kill zones and they're made into murder victims because of the way that we're approaching defense. And really, you know, Bob said it this way in the last hour. He said that, you know, when trouble starts, get off the X's. And what that means is basically charge your attacker, disarm them, and use their weapon against them and their cohorts, or run like hell. And he said, he stressed how hard it is to hit a moving target, particularly when you're zigzagging. So when you go into any public venue, look at where the exits are. How will you get out if trouble started? And I those are words to live by. And here you're echoing exactly what Bob said, and I hope the people are listening, because we didn't rehearse this. You know, Jim White did not come on here, you know, prepared with Bob Griswold's script. This is what people who know about these situations are saying. So, Jim, I wanted to endorse what you're saying and just say, you know, you got real validation from that from an expert in the last hour. So I totally agree with you, but we're not situationally aware in this country. And it's tragic, but let's talk about what this means for America now. Let's shift gears for a second, Jim. What's happened in France has happened, and both of us, our hearts go out for the victims and their families. I like the French. I love the culture, the country. It's a wonderful place. No one deserves to die this way. But beyond all that, Jim, there's real implications for America coming out of this, isn't there?
Well, no doubt. This, I believe, you know, as I think we stated on a show yesterday or the day before, this is sort of a precursor to what you're going to see here in this country. And, you know, Dave, it just makes sense. I mean, let's just use our noggins for a minute. You know, you're releasing, or you're allowing thousands upon thousands of military-aged men to come into your country without really being screened, knowing that there's a, you know, apparently a worldwide war on terror, we've been told. How can you really be in the middle of a worldwide war on terror like we claim? And the reason they claim that, of course, is so they can justify all this, their military spending and all the all the, you know, all the military armaments that they give the local police stations and whatnot. So apparently, on one end, they want us to think it's a worldwide war on terror that we have to ramp up all this, these police departments. Yet, on the other hand, they want to just leave the borders open and let the very terrorists, apparently, that we're supposed to be fighting on a worldwide level, right into the country. Now, and that's what they're doing, Dave. And you know, I think New Orleans just got a lot of immigrants shipped in. I know Michigan has quite a few, and I know the governor of Michigan's come out, and he's going to put a moratorium on refugees. At least someone's got some sense, some common sense to plug the show here. So, you know, unless we do take, you know, drastic measures, Dave, yes, I submit that they're already here in this country. Maybe not all of them that are going to be, but there certainly are plenty. Now, do I have the proof? Well, no, I don't need the proof. The statistics state that, what is it, 10% of the refugees are radicalized, so to speak, Dave, and would do us harm. So just do the math, people. You know, it's not a hard math equation. If there's 250,000 refugees that have, you know, come into this country, and 25,000 of them are probably hardcore killers. People need to wake up, Dave. I mean, we're reaching a point where, you know, we're going to be overrun. And I hate to sound like an alarmist or the sky's falling, but, you know,
Let's be honest, it is, Jim.
Yeah, when there's parts of the United States that are really implementing Sharia law, yeah, the sky is falling. I don't know what else to say.
No, I totally agree with you. I've got, well, do I want to tell this now or save it for the morning? Let's give our listeners a head start on breaking news, okay?
Okay.
I've got to be careful because I have two confidential sources. One of them's highly confidential for a good reason, that work inside the nuclear power industry, and they work at a nuclear power plant. And I will not reveal the location until the morning, but I know the area. I know the intersections they're talking about. This person has given me, in particular, this one person, Paul, this is double-sourced. This one person who I've known and communicates with me on a regular basis has given me information regarding the goings-on inside their nuclear power plant where they work, and in particular the DHS inspections, more importantly and more disturbingly, their direction in case there is an EMP attack, and how they can basically try to neutralize the fuel rods, which would be problematic because without power to cool, you know, you could go into critical meltdown, and oh boy, Fukushima all over again. And if you had a nationwide EMP attack, it could be 104 Fukushimas, and counting Canada, it could be 124. But Jim, here's the announcement. In the area, not too far from this nuclear power plant, are Asian soldiers. All Asian, not Asians in American uniforms. So we have Asian Americans. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about from Asia, in blue uniforms, near this power plant at a local convenience store, and I have a picture. And I'm coming out with this tomorrow. Why are they in proximity to a nuclear power plant with all the things, I'm also going to reveal this too, all the things going on? You want to talk about false flag terrorism, joining forces between who I think is either the North Koreans or Chinese and the home and the terrorists who've invaded our homeland? Jim, this is really serious. This is very serious, and things are happening so fast. In the 9 years, almost 9 years I've been broadcasting, Jim, I have never seen a time like this. I have never seen the events move so quickly with such dire potential consequences. Have you?
Well, I have not. But, you know, as I've spoken to my wife about these things numerous times, you know, I kind of expected an acceleration when you get towards the end of things. Now, when I say the end of things, that doesn't mean that means tomorrow. But we are certainly reaching the end of the dollar There's no doubt about that. One of the things you're reaching the end of. But you see that it's sort of like the immovable force meets the irresistible, immovable object meets the irresistible force. As they continue to perpetrate their crimes, they become more exposed and shows like ours, and certainly others, Mike Adams, Alex Jones, a lot of people in alternative media, as we continue to expose their crimes, they have to move at a faster pace. So that's why you're seeing things accelerate, Dave, because I say to you that they know that if things end badly for them, it also means, hanging by the end of a rope, deservedly so, because these people have committed treason, many of them, on this country, on this nation. So yeah, Dave, I think we are seeing it accelerate because, sadly, I think we're soon going to be reaching some sort of an end game. And like I said, I don't know what that entails. I really don't think, if the truth be told, I don't think that these globalists that run things, I don't think they really are sure exactly how it's going to end up. I think they have a good idea, and they know how they want it to end up, and they're going to do all they can to make that happen. But it's really hard, Dave, to predict the human spirit and what the human spirit is going to do when it's under tyranny, hardcore tyranny. So, I don't know. We're coming up on tough times. I know we've said that for a long time, but the longer it goes, the closer we're getting to the point when the music stops playing, because it's going to. There's no doubt.
It's just figuring out when and how that's going to happen, and adjusting accordingly. But another thing that I wanted to bring to light, and I've talked about this a couple of times on the show before, I've written about it more than once, but it was a little over 3 years ago that I encountered a couple who I'd known for a while. The man was a retired FEMA agent, and I won't get into all my past association with him and how I knew him, but I knew him fairly well. I certainly knew his family. He knew me well enough to show up at my work office and to tell me he was bugging out with other like-minded alphabet soup type people. And he said that what's coming in 2 to 3 years, this was 2012, he said will be chemical and biological attacks. And he said it wouldn't be surprising to him if localized EMP weapons weren't used as well. So they being his cohorts, had prepared accordingly, and they bugged out and they left. Well, Jim, we're coming up on this time. This time, what? I think, is now upon us. We're in the zone he talked about.
Well, Dave, I happen to know of at least two. There's quite a few billionaires here in this area that I live in here, this valley, relatively speaking. There's at least two of them that I know of that have, fully underground bunkers, basically, ready for this type of thing. So, the people that have, the people that are wealthy, and I would consider, billions of dollars wealthy, certainly, they know what's going on. They've either, got themselves out of this country and purchased islands offshore somewhere or went to other locations that are very difficult to reach, or they have built underground bunkers to shelter in place here in this country. Now, whether that's going to protect them or not, I guess time will tell. But, they have certainly, when you have that kind of money, Dave, it buys a little bit, buys some information, some advanced information, because you become part of the, quote unquote, the club at that point, and you find out things way before guys like us do. So at least they believe that something's coming. Like I said, I can't see the future. But, it wouldn't surprise me. I think that's when, Dave, I really have said that all along. I think it's going to come to the point where that's all they're going to have left if they want to continue to stay in power, is release some sort of a chemical and biological weapon and then head underground and then, come back up when all the smoke clears. Yeah, I hope I'm wrong, but that is one possible scenario, unfortunately.
There was a TV show. And you know how much I'm into predictive programming. And the show was called 13. And Annie DeRiso and I used to talk about this a number of times in our news segment a few years ago. The first year of the series was actually pretty good. The second year was god awful. It was terrible. The plot lines were awful, but the subjects they had in these awful plot lines were amazing. They had harp misspelled, of course. But the thing that they had, and this was so timely, this was at the same time that my FEMA source bugged out. They had this gas they would release, and this the star of the show was in China, trying to find out his identity. He'd lost his memory, and this gas would cause people to go into a berserk kind of frenzy. And what's interesting is at that same time, at that very same time, on Halloween, and Jim, I'm sure you remember this, San Diego County with VHS and local law enforcement and some military had a zombie apocalypse drill, and they practiced shooting down pretend zombies that were painted up on Halloween to be zombies, and they shot them down in this mock drill using blanks. Do you remember that drill? It was on TV.
I do.
Yeah, yeah. And we all kind of chuckled, hee-hee-hee. But you know what? This was at the same time, the exact same time, that I'm getting this from the FEMA couple on why they're leaving. And they're taking their family with them. And this guy told me his job was counter-bioterrorism. And he told me flat out that we have things that the rest of the world doesn't know about. And in a false flag scenario, there are people that are not afraid to use this. And one of the things they talked about was the ability to incite extreme violence. And then they turned around and had the same drill a couple weeks earlier. They had that same drill in Idaho. So I can't help but believe this is some of what we're looking at. These bio agents that could be released, and I think it's going to be done, you know, by terrorists, or should I say terrorists who are trained by our friends over in Langley, for lack of a better term. And go ahead, Jim.
Well, you know, to further solidify your point, if you look back at the World Trade Center bombing, I believe it was the 1993 World Trade bombing, Rashad Salam, I believe was the name of the guy that they tried to patsy, that they tried to set up. I mean, they trained the guy, they cooked the bomb, they trained the driver, and I don't know if you've ever seen that case, but he started recording everything about a year and a half beforehand, and he had giant binders full of transcripts where the FBI was literally trying to talk him into blowing up the World Trade Center. So, you know, these are things, you know, to circle back around to false flags, you know, people have to understand, you know, and I think we covered that, Dave, last week on the Common Sense Show. We were on talknetwork.com. That was one of the topics that we covered, I believe, in one of our segments was false flags. You know, people have to be aware, going forward, that word needs to become very, very well known in your vocabulary, and you need to research it, because that is, we're moving into, I believe, into a time of false flags. For lack of a better term, Dave, I think that is a very, very well utilized and very successful military tactic. And we really are in a war against these people. I mean, they're trying to kill us. So as far as I'm concerned, someone is trying to kill me, and I'm at war with them. So, I mean, you know, that's in war, they're going to use any tactics they can, and that's just one of them. So, I mean, we are in danger. I mean, I'd say, you know, red alert, you know, we really are. We're in danger every day that these people could release some sort of a weapon, Dave, that could wipe out 80 to 90% of us. Mousepox has about a 97% fatality rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure does.
They have that. I mean, you know, come on. You know, it's pretty fragile, really. If they release that, all bets are off.
Well, Jim, I've been saying this a lot recently, but just with the sheer number of male, unscreened folks, Muslim immigrants coming into this country with a 10% radicalized figure, there are enough terrorists here combined with the MS-13 assassins that the Border Patrol were ordered at the border to gather up and then release. And how'd they know they were MS-13? Because the teardrops on their face represented their murder victims. And I've had two Border Patrol agents talk to me extensively about this, as well as someone within the DEA. So you've got these fifth-grade terrorist, fifth-column people in this country. And, Jim, mark my words on this. One day we're going to awaken. That's if you're not a victim. We're going to awaken, and it's going to be a day of rage. It's going to be South Vietnam. It's going to be the Viet Cong and the NVA attacking every major city in this country. And this is not about fear-mongering, but just look at the sheer numbers we're dealing with and what these people are capable of. And there is no reason to be bringing these people into our country. I mean, I've got pictures on my website of these refugee groups. Jim, you've seen them. 2,200 of them going to Germany and not one female. So what do? Leave their women and children behind? Well, they do if they're jihadi terrorists. Darn right they do. So this is what I think is coming to this country. I think there's no question. And people say, oh, there you go again, Dave. Really? What happened in Paris? What the hell just happened in Paris?
Sorry, Dave, I'm going to cut you off. I know we don't have much time left, but in this country, unfortunately, I live out west here in Montana, and this sort of there's an old west mentality out here where I live in this valley. But sadly, across the country, it's really not that way. Very soft, very, very pampered. The people in this country have never really hardly seen any hard times. And if something like that were to happen, Dave, the amount of terror that would sweep across this country would be just unprecedented. I mean, you think 9/11 was bad. You know, you start doing the coordinated attacks like they did in Paris across the United States. People in this country aren't going to, there'll be certain people, gun owners and former military that are going to be ready, not ready for it, but can handle it. But the majority of the population, they're going to be terrified, absolutely terrified, literally.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And people at some point will take matters into their own hands. But most of us, as Bob Griswold talked about in the last hour, will get into the black zone and they'll panic, they'll stay frozen, and they'll either become a victim or do exactly what they're told to do by the authorities, who may or may not have their best interest at heart. Well, Jim, let me just stop here for a second. First of all, thank you for coming on and sharing your perspective and expertise on this most critical subject. But also want to remind everybody, Jim and I will be back next week along with Katie, and we've got two great guests, Mike Adams from Natural News, and I just drew a blank.
James Wesley Rawls.
Oh, yes, thank you, James Wesley Rawls. Oh, my God, I better go take some vitamin E. Katie, help me, help me. We'll see you next week, everybody. Go out and have a great week. God bless.
With friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.